This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Michigan State University's Eli and Edith Broad Art Museum is pretty hard to miss. The steel structure looks like a strangely shaped spaceship among the traditional ivory-covered brick buildings around it. Next week will mark the third birthday of this museum. In his story for Lansing City Pulse, Lawrence Cosentino spells out the reasons the Broads, at a critical time in its young history. Lawrence Cosentino, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks for having me, Cindy.
The heart and soul of the Broad, it seems, was certainly its founding director, Michael Rush. I remember talking with him on this program when the museum first opened, his great enthusiasm, and it's so sad that he lost his battle with cancer this past March. What impact has his death had on the Broad?
It's hard to even estimate it now. It's going to take time to sink in, even. He died in March. He was so enthusiastic. He was able to deal with donors and with ordinary people who came in the museum and were afraid of contemporary art. He was really a teacher at heart. He wasn't a person who was locked into the hierarchy of curators and administration. There was no one like him. The staff he assembled, they were people who were top-notch. They were international players in the art world, and they told me so themselves. They really came here to work with Michael Rush. So that's another, you know, that's another thing that goes when he died that kind of went with him.
Yeah, it's your piece for City Pulse tracks, you know, people who are leaving. And you spoke with former curator Allison Gass, who left for a job in California this past summer. And here's what she told you. I'll read her quote. There was a collaborative spirit that got the thing going, but everybody left because they had great opportunities elsewhere. Are you reading anything between the lines there, Larry?
Boy, that's a little tricky. When you have people of her caliber, I mean, Allison Gass, she was named one of the 50 curators, museum curators, to look out for by the New York Times a few years back. And then you have someone like Min-Jung Kim, who was the deputy director of the Broad, who was involved in the creation of Guggenheim and Abu Dhabi. And these are people who...
They're heavy hitters.
Yeah, they came, they should have gone or could have gone to the coast, but they came to East Lansing, Michigan. And you just have to wonder, although no one has told me directly, that the community is just too boring for them or that it was just too, you know, too daunting to try to put this project over in the middle of the heartland like this. But you have to wonder how much of that goes into some of their thinking as they move on to bigger and better projects.
And your article tells us that former DIA Director Graham Beal has become involved with MSU and with the Broad. What will he be doing, and what do stakeholders think he brings to the table?
Well, he's got tremendous prestige. Obviously, he was director of the DIA for 16 years. He shepherded it through some incredibly difficult times, the bankruptcy, a major renovation and addition, millage crisis, any number of problems that related to the museum's position in the community, in the larger community in Detroit. So he brings a lot. He was appointed what they call the Hanna Distinguished Visiting Professorship at MSU for a year. So it's very, very prestigious. It's probably the highest honor they can give a visiting professor. And part of his job is going to be to help the Broad, to advise them on programming, and he's also going to be a member of the committee that's going to choose Michael Rush's successor. He was also on the committee that chose Michael Rush. So he's got a lot to say about, he's learned a lot in his tenure in Detroit on relating to the community. And that's of all the signposts that we see with the Broad Museum so far, that's where it's perhaps the most at its shakiest. The museum's programs have gotten international attention in the art world. The critics have paid attention to many of the exhibits. Many of the exhibits have been quite well received critically, but the community hasn't taken it to its heart at the level at which they had hoped. And, I mean, the position of the museum, the very location of it, right on Grand River Avenue, adjoining East Lansing, was meant to send a strong signal that this was not going to be another, you know, ivory castle academic institution. This was going to be a place where the community could gather, where people could discuss art and experience art. They wanted to really move the cultural needle up a notch here in East Lansing, and that's the toughest job that museum has, and they haven't really proven yet that they're going to get there.
Can they get there? Is this just maybe honestly the wrong place for this kind of museum doing this kind of work?
Oh, all I can say is pull up a chair and pop some popcorn. And we have to see. I mean, 3 years is not that long. It depends a lot on the staff. It depends a lot on the programming. the MSU commissioned a study when the museum was built in 2012 that predicted there would be about 150,000 visitors a year, that people would come in and spend, I don't know how many millions of dollars. They had, you know, a lot of really big pie-in-the-sky projections, kind of like Guggenheim, Bilbao sort of scaled projections mm-hmm. about how it would transform the economy and the community. And many of those just simply haven't happened.
What are you watching for next, Larry?
Well, the director is huge, who they pick for director. If they pick someone with a common touch, someone who knows how to send the message into the community, how to make the museum, give the museum a presence in the community, how to deal with the doubters and the haters, I think that's crucial. If they don't do that, they're dead in the water.
Larry Cosentino's piece, The Terrible Threes, explores this very watershed moment for the Broad Museum. You'll find it at LansingCityPulse.com. Larry, great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cindy.